everybody. Cal Banyan here with Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Celeste Hackett. Celeste, what you doing today?
Well, I got a lot of neat things online here today for us to talk about. We're going to talk about fractionation. We're going to go a little bit into that in just a little while. Cal, you like to call it a fractionation, the fractionation deepening covert test. So there's a question about that. I love fractionation. I think it's the best thing to get somebody to the threshold of somnambulism. And we're going to talk about how to get details in age regression. And if we have time, we're going to talk about a client that was diagnosed with bipolar. The hypnotist wants to know, can he work with this guy?
Ah, very good, Grasshopper. Hey, guess what? Before we get started, I want to talk about the NGH convention. It was so cool. And just seeing everybody, I just loved it. They stopped by my booth and we chatted and stuff. And then I had one of our grads come to me. She's all upset because she was just catching the very end of a talk. And a very well-known professional hypnotist slammed me in his class. I told her, get over it. It's no big deal. You know, when people do stuff like that, just water off a duck's back, you know. I did have the NGH edited out of the recording, though, because no sense having that circulating around. But you know what? Don't let the little stuff get you down, you know.
Cal, could you clarify that was somebody mean to you?
Mean to me. Accused me of all kinds of terrible things in his class. Well, I think that makes him look bad more than it makes me look bad.
Wow. I think so, too. They better come talk to me the next time they want to push you around, Cal.
That's right. I'll say, you talk to my bodyguard over there.
Here I am. See my muscles?
Oh. You know what's happening right now? John's bringing me some coffee. Hey, John, thanks a lot.
Tell him to bring me some. Oh, wait, your intestine.
Yeah, this is very nice. John's bringing me in some coffee. I'm going to leave this in the video because I'm trying to catch up to your caffeine quotient. Yeah, Celeste, are you drinking coffee right now?
Actually, I would like to put my order in for a glass of red wine because I have been quite hyper today. And you know, when you work from home, you can sneak that in every now and then if you really need it. But that's sounding kind of like I need some hypnosis, huh?
It sounds like one of your guilty pleasures.
Yes. Actually, every great once in a while, a nice glass of wine. I guess we should get to work, though, here. Because people are tuning in not to see me drink a glass of wine or you to have a cup of coffee, but they want content. They want help. And, you know, Pablo Cruz, I just love him. He's a Spanish CFI who lives in Australia, correct, Cal?
Yes, he's one of our CFIs. He's a trainer like you are, and he, along with yourself, you know, you can teach the classes I teach. The NGH certification class with 5-Path and 7-Path, and our Week of Power.
Well, everybody who does hypnosis from time to time, CFI or not, trainer or not, we got questions and we're always looking for answers. And he has a couple coming to see him next week. He posted on askcal.rhypnospace.com. He says he's unhappy because he just found out that his partner has been diagnosed with bipolar. Now, he's talking about the client. The client's partner diagnosed with bipolar is unhappy, okay? And he found out that his roommate molested his daughter. This is really confusing. What it comes down to is, can you work with bipolar clients? That's what he wants to know.
Okay, let me see if I've got this straight. First, I have to have a cup of coffee. Wait, I have to have a sip. Okay, so Pablo in Australia wrote, and he said he has a client coming in, and his client is upset. Or his potential client, he's wondering if he can work with them, because his partner had molested his daughter, and that's really has nothing to do with the question. What he's wondering about is, since one of these two people has been diagnosed with bipolar, if he can work with that person. Have I got that straight?
You know,
it's like a soap opera.
Read it from the start to the beginning, from the beginning to the ending. Maybe you can figure it out. You know, when you guys write these questions, you got to be more clear. Let me read it and you take what you want from it, Cal. Okay, this isn't that long.
Okay.
I have a couple coming to see me next week. He is unhappy as he just found out that his partner has been diagnosed with bipolar, and he found out recently that his roommate has molested his daughter.
Which he are we talking about?
I don't know.
Here?
That's what I'm saying. You guys got to be more careful when you write, because we don't know which he we're talking about. Okay, but this is the rest of it. I'm planning to do a complete five path with him. Now he is coming in. Now he is coming with her for the initial visit, as he wants to see how I can help her, as she has an alcohol problem. This gets just even more interesting. I have asked him to get a referral from her psychiatrist, saying that it's okay to use hypnotherapy for the alcohol issue, but am not sure of the effectiveness of hypnotherapy on bipolar clients. So actually he's asking, just like I originally said, what are your views on working with someone with bipolar? Whew.
You know what? That question is a case of TMI. What do you think, Celeste?
Yes. You want to edit it out?
No. I have the gist of what I want to say about this. All right. So the question is, can I work with bipolar? I am a hypnotist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a counselor. And bipolar is a psychiatric disorder according to the DSM-4, right?
Yes.
Okay. The answer is, if you have a referral from the physician or someone licensed and qualified to make that diagnosis to work with bipolar, yes, you can. Bipolar is a mood disorder, which means they go through times of very excited mood and euphoria, and in some cases they can even become psychotic, and then other times of being very, very depressed. So that's the bipolar thing. Very, very excited, the word they use is manic-y, and then very, very depressed. So you need to have a referral in most places. Now, whether or not you should is another question. Let me tell you what I do. Now, even though I have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree in psychology, I'm not licensed as a psychologist. So I'm just like any other hypnotist out there, legally speaking. And this is my experience. My experience really began with working with people who had bipolar disorder, but for different issues. Like they might come in with a fear of public speaking, and then, by the way, I have bipolar disorder. Now, probably a lot of the people that are watching this are not psychologists and haven't been trained in psychiatric disorders. Let me tell you something. There's two main categories of these, major psychiatric disorders. One is thought disorders, and that's like schizophrenia. These people have problems with delusions and hallucinations and this kind of stuff, and it's probably ill-advised, unless you have special training, to under no circumstances work with these people. They're going to be very, very difficult to work with anyway. I talk about it in class about times when you could and maybe even times when you should. But that's not who we're talking about in this question. The question is about bipolar disorder. And bipolar disorder is a mood disorder. And so unless they're off on one of their manic-y phases, they think just like you and I. And they present very normally. There's literally millions of people out there who have this diagnosis, bipolar disorder, they have jobs and families, and they go to college, and they're just like everybody else, especially if their symptoms have been controlled with medication. So what I would do is I have one of these very high-functioning, very normal people, except for the psychiatric diagnosis, which is being controlled by medication, come in for a fear of public speaking or for motivation in work. And then what I noticed is because of the style of work that I do, where I go after the cause of the problem. Now remember, they're not presenting saying, I want you to use hypnosis to help me overcome my bipolar disorder. I'm talking about a group of people with bipolar disorder who've come in and they want to work on stop smoking, lose weight, overcoming a fear, phobia, that kind of stuff. And that as I do this work where we do like age regression, follow the cause back, and do forgiveness therapy and parts work, all that kind of stuff, that sometimes the bipolar would clear up. And they would say, gosh, I'm feeling so much better, I think I'll go off my medication. And I will then immediately kind of say, you need to talk to your doctor or psychologist or psychiatrist, whatever you want to, whoever they're seeing, about that. Because when you go off these very important medications, you don't want to just quit on your own. There's a way that they step down from these medications and monitor that the symptomology is not coming back and that kind of thing. And with following up with these clients, that what we've found is in many cases, they've been able to go to their doctor and get off the medications. So, and in some cases, this is the funny thing, is their psychiatrist, they just can't get their mind around that a good hypnosis process done where we really work with these powerful techniques like age regression work and that kind of thing could have an effect on bipolar. And so at least a few times what the doctor has come back with is, yes, you no longer have bipolar disorder, and so that means that you must have never had it in the first place and that you must have been misdiagnosed. So that's a real interesting thing. But that's okay. You know, who wants to run around with a psychiatric diagnosis attached to your record anyway? I mean, if we can do something and have the doctor take back that diagnosis, wonderful. Anything to add to that? Next, I'm going to go on to talking about actually going after bipolar. Any questions or anything I missed out on there, Celeste?
Nope, I think you get a 10. In fact, I was thinking about rating you and holding up a piece of paper saying 10.
Thank you very much. Anyway, then there's people that come in and say, you know, I heard that you helped my friend with his bipolar disorder. Can you help me? And then in this case, I definitely need a referral. In the previous example, I was not working with the bipolar disorder. I was working on, you know, lose weight, stop smoking, and as a side effect of what I was doing, the bipolar disorder cleared up. Now, here comes someone presenting with, I have a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, I'm on medication, and in this case, you really need to get a referral from a physician. Now, you need to know the laws of the country and the state that you work in. So, you know, I am not telling what you to do legally. I'm telling you what I've done in the past and the kind of success or challenges I've had. When you have someone come in presenting with bipolar, get a doctor's referral. If they won't do a referral, here is a plan B. Let them know that you'd like to work with their patient and ask them if instead of the referral, because some states they're afraid of you know, litigation and liability, and maybe their insurance says they can't refer out to someone that's not a licensed medical practitioner, and so they can't make the referral. So you'd say, would you be willing to say that it's not contraindicated? That's doctor speak for saying, we don't anticipate that the procedure would cause any problems. It would not complicate things. It would not make things worse. So a lot of times the physician that will not give you a straight out referral will make you send you a letter that in their opinion it's not contraindicated. And so that can get you moving where a referral might not. So, and then you would proceed. And again, don't work with things that you're not trained to work with. If you know, if it's above your head, then certainly don't take on the client. Certainly, direct suggestion, hypnosis in itself might help some people, but really to get at these kinds of things that are of emotional nature, you're going to need to do some age regression work and some of these other therapies that are included in 5-PATH. So by whatever name you want to call it, you need to be able to go with these powerful hypnotic techniques and do that kind of work. Do you think I answered it, Celeste?
Boy, you know, that contraindicated thumbs up from the doctor is a nice little trick to have in your backpack of techniques for getting, well, it's not really a referral, but getting more or less the thumbs up from the doctor or the okay, isn't it?
Yeah, and have you ever tried that? Have you ever had to do that?
No, but I'm glad to know about it. I heard you talk about this in another show, and I've made a note for, you know, in case I ever need to use that.
Very good, very good. Well, let's see. We've been going on for about 20 minutes. Do we have time to get something else in?
Well, I was going to let you choose because I was thinking the same thing. We're running out of time. So you get to choose the next one, and you can choose from the a question about fractionation or one about details in age regression and how to get them. I think fractionation might not take as long.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay, why don't you describe to everybody what you mean by fractionation?
Well, fractionation is, actually you call it the fractionation deepening covert test because that's what it's for. It's to covertly test to see if someone is in somnambulism or at the threshold, but it also can get them there if they're not. And it's more or less a technique that Gerald Kine showed you originally, isn't that true?
Yes. Now let me just add a little bit to your explanation there. Fractionation, when you just say the word fractionation in hypnosis, what that means is that you do something to take someone into hypnosis and then you just partially emerge them from hypnosis and then either deepen them or take them back into hypnosis. So when I think about fractionation, I'm thinking about I'm emerging them fractionally, a fraction. Instead of all the way up, I might take them halfway up or something like that. In the original Ellman induction, there's a part where Dave Ellman would have the client say, open your eyes, close your eyes, and go deeper. When someone in hypnosis opens their eyes, they tend to emerge a little bit. So the idea of saying, open your eyes, close your eyes, and go deeper causes them to emerge a little bit, and then you say, close your eyes and go deeper, and rather than just going back down to where they were before, it takes them a little bit deeper. So that's the idea of fractionation. And I don't know where Jerry Kine got this. Jerry Kine is certainly a wonderful teacher, and but Jerry and me, we both teach techniques that we didn't invent. And so one of the interesting things about our profession, coming from psychology, I looked at the development of our profession, and it's quite different. In psychology, if you're going to write an article or part of your training, very careful attention is given to what they call the antecedents. And the antecedents are the people who contributed to what you're doing now, techniques, research, and that kind of thing. And so when you say a statement like you say, you know, fractionation is really good for deepening, then you'd cite some major research articles and probably one of the first people to ever establish that scientifically. You know, you'd say like, Harry Ahrens, 1952. And so then people could go look up that article and that kind of thing. But in the profession of hypnotism, a lot of things have been handed down from kind of master to student, master to student. A hypnotist that does more like, quote, clinical work or consulting work might watch a stage hypnotist and pick up a tip from that person and use it in their practice. And so the really following the progression of who invented what and research and that kind of stuff has not been very good in our profession. And hopefully one day we'll be able to do that. I'm trying to get a well-known author, Roy Hunter. He's the author of The Art of Hypnosis, The Art of Hypnotherapy, and a parts mediation book also, to write a book about the modern history of hypnosis. Oh, well, that was kind of a segue. Let me tell you real quick about the fractionation before we run out of time for this episode. So, what are you doing? You want to get someone into a deep state of hypnosis, and the minimum level of hypnosis you want to work with is what I call the threshold of somnambulism. And, you know, you want to get them at least to the very beginning of somnambulism. that is identified by doing things like suggesting amnesia and suggesting reduction of or elimination of pain. How do we get there? Well, there's a number of different ways. One, right now we just have two covert tests for the threshold of somnambulism, and covert means hidden. Gosh, this is a big question, Celeste, but I'm going to wrap it up here pretty quick, or we'll have to go into the next episode, which I don't want to do. I want to get this one finished up today. If you have someone open their eyes and close their eyes in hypnosis, and you say, go deeper, then they're going to go deeper. And now, there's a state of hypnosis. The other word for this somnambulism, the threshold of somnambulism, is a mental state called contention. Contention is where they're hanging on every single word. And so we're going to give the client the suggestion. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 3. When I get to 3, and not before, I want you to open your eyes. And then I will lightly snap my fingers like this, and then I want you to close your eyes and go deeper. And then what we'll do is we'll start off with 1, 2, 3. And on 3, not before, not after, they should open their eyes, and you praise them, you say, good, go deeper. And then they go back down. Then you'll do that slowly at first, and then you're going to pick up the rhythm, and you'll go 1, 2, 3. And they open their eyes on 3, and you go deeper. 1, 2, 3. Deeper. 1, 2, 3. Deeper. 1, 2, 3. Deeper. 1, 2, 3. Deeper. Now what happens, I'm really doing 4-4 time there, right? 1, 2, 3, and instead of saying 4, I snap my fingers. And if you're in a normal waking state of consciousness, i.e. not hypnotized, or in a light state of hypnosis, like hypnoidal, or light hypnosis, or maybe even medium hypnosis, what's going to happen is you're going to anticipate the fourth beat. And anticipate any beat, because you've got into that rhythm. And you want to go through that 1, 2, 3 deeper at least 3 times to get that rhythm established well. And then you interrupt the pattern. You'll go 1, 2, 3, deeper. 1, 2, 3, deeper. 1, 2, 3, deeper. 1, 2. And then you wait. If they're not yet in the threshold of somnambulism or deeper, you'll see them begin to open their eyes and to anticipate that number 3. If they do that, then they're not deep enough yet, and you'll just say the number 3, let them open their eyes on 3, and then snap your fingers, and then you can do the process again until they get deep enough to where they don't anticipate the 3, and that's one of our covert tests for somnambulism. I'm going to thank Jerry Kind for showing me that technique. All right, Celeste, I think we've got to watch our time here, and why don't you wrap it up?
Okay, well, Cal, first of all, real quickly, is there anywhere where they can see that demonstrated? Do you have a video or anything?
I believe that's on the 5-Path DVD set.
Cool, because I think it's so much more powerful when you actually see the rhythm and see it happening.
I know. If you were here, I'd hypnotize you for them.
Yes, my eyes were opening and closing.
All right, maybe you can grab Christopher. Okay. He's the husband/cameraman there with Celeste. She could hypnotize him or something, but we don't have enough time today. It's better if you can actually see it. So Celeste can show it to you in class. I can show it to you in class. It's also on the 5-Path DVD set with a whole bunch of other stuff. That's available on banninghypnosismall.com. Is that good enough for you, Celeste?
I think that's great. You guys, thanks for tuning in. You've been watching and or listening, because you can also download this on audio so that you can listen when you're at the gym or on a trip somewhere, just driving along in the car. So you've been watching and or listening to Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. I'm Celeste Hackett with Family First Hypnosis in Dallas, Texas.
And I'm Cal Banyan out here in Tustin, California. Check me out on calbanyan.com. If you're watching this on another website, go to calbanyan.com, because when we talk about a resource like a book, tape, or website, we put it right down there, and you can only get it at calbanyan.com. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only. May not be duplicated without written permission.